WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Some of the letters the American humorist S.J. Perlman wrote to his friends and colleagues have been gathered in a new book called Don't Tread on Me. The letters were written between the 1920s and 1979, the year Perlman died. Our book critic John Leonard has this review.
S.J. Perlman was always leaving town, for Hollywood or Asia or Africa. Then he came home to be funny, when they would let him, in the pages of The New Yorker and Holiday and Red Book. To be funny, as in Perlman, you had to wear the vernacular like a hair shirt, to have read all the newspapers and gone to all the movies and heard all the songs, to have perfect pitch for the absurd tone. You had to be equally at home in high culture and in low, with Mandarin modernism and the slang of gangsters. It's no surprise to find here letters to both T.S. Eliot and Raymond Chandler, to Edmund Wilson and Groucho Marx. What is surprising is to find so much anger and melancholy. He was, of course, a perfectionist. I alternate, he wrote, between periods of violence and despair when I consider what faces anybody who wants to really write as well as he can. And he was usually broke. And he was expected always to be hilarious, on cue with the verbal pratfall and the radical juxtaposition and the surreal swoon. A clown gets tired. He wants to hole up with a friend, a hot bird, and a cold bottle. But his anger and melancholy in these letters are political as well as personal. From fascism to blacklisting, his times were contemptible. He hated Germans, despised the Dutch, loathed India, and didn't much like himself for having to work in Hollywood with, quote, a flock of beetle-brained windsuckers with necks hinged so they can yes Daryl Zanuck. He had as little use for Nixon as he did for Acapulco, and no use at all for Andy Warhol and Barbara Walters. He disdained a number of his colleagues at The New Yorker, including John Updike and Donald Barthelme. Barthelme is the amazement here. I would have thought Barthelme and Max Appel were his precocious children. Malcolm Muggeridge, the editor of Punch, was, quote, a chatterbox, all smile and prussic acid, bristling with insincerity. And Mike Todd, for whom Perlman wrote the screenplay for Around the World in 80 Days, was, quote, a sinister dwarf, an ulcer no larger than a man's hand. This isn't to say that Don't Tread on Me is all gloom. There's more humor in any one of his vituperations than in a whole decade of sitcoms. And he has his enthusiasms, among them V.S. Naipaul, Bernard Malamud, Janet Flanner, George V. Higgins, Bella Abzug, and Afghanistan. It's just that his editor, Prudence Crowther, a young friend of his last years, was unable to secure any of the letters to people like Robert Benchley and Dorothy Parker and Lillian Hellman. And there's something sad about his warning his daughter in boarding school to stay away from Dostoevsky, to read Booth Tarkington instead, as if he had lived too long himself with Dostoevsky. When he left town, he liked to bring back exotic birds. He was especially partial to mynas. He explained to a friend, to teach them you have to cover their cage with a dark cloth and endlessly chant some word until they repeat it. This haunts me. And so do these letters from the clown unbuttoned and at bay.
Our book critic John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed Don't Tread on Me, the selected letters of S.J. Perlman.